Hi, I'm Tony Lay, and you're listening to Whispers, the short-form history podcast that tells stories that time is slowly forgetting. Lining a pathway in a relatively small town is a low-lying rock wall with an odd feature. There is a narrow slab of rock protruding parallel to the ground, about 8 inches above the sidewalk. It resembles a small ledge, or a small step. A woman's name is engraved on the edge of that rock, whispering her name to anyone who comes across it, inviting them, if they're curious enough, to learn her tragic story. The story of a lost girl and the lesson she left for all of us. In order to learn her story, we'll have to travel back to a particular point in time, a point in time when she was still alive, when the woman is 37, pregnant, and homeless. She's currently muttering under her breath and walking away from a man she's just bummed change from on the street. After giving her some change, the man watches her with pity for several moments as she walks away. He heads in the opposite direction, thoughtfully. There's an intense turbulence to this woman as she wanders along the street, continuing to ask those out walking for a donation of either food or money. She's been on the streets in the town for a while now, and had no idea that there were events taking place in this small town that concerned her, events that would make her current situation and suffering incredibly worse, and become a shamefully valuable lesson for all of us, forever. Before her already grim situation makes a sharp turn into history and becomes a scar that will never heal, we need to gain an understanding of how she got to this point in her life. She carries a mountain of heavy baggage that no one can see, nor will ever understand, because no one will ever ask. Baggage that was thrust onto her time after time in a brutal chain of misfortunes. Her father owned a well-known bar and did very well, yet he committed suicide when she was only 17. He also owned a 70-acre estate and a decent amount of wealth, but he left no will. The estate, because of there being no will and the old-fashioned ideologies that existed in their town, ended up being divided between her father's wife and his two sons. The woman's six sisters were given a small portion of land to be shared amongst themselves, except that small plot was denied to his daughters by his widow's new husband. The woman met a man whom she married. Their marriage hadn't lasted long when he suddenly passed away. In the short time they were married, her husband would bury them in bills and leave her with a mountain of debt. Later, she would marry another man. The small plot that was originally denied to the woman was given to her new husband by her stepfather. In order to climb out of her debt and lawsuit filed by her first husband's creditors, the newly married couple sold the small piece of property and everything they'd received from her father's estate. Because of the amount of debt and lawsuit, they lost everything and were forced onto the streets. The same streets that we'll pick back up with this lost girl where we originally joined her, as she leaves the man who'd just given her some change and who is watching her as she continued to walk away, asking those she came across for anything they had to spare. This lost girl was well known to be unpleasant, whether you helped her or not. But no one ever asked what brought a once bright young girl to the life she lived now, as an unpleasant curiosity that wandered the margins of town. Days later, the man who gave her change approached her, explaining that he and his wife could put her and her husband up in their home to help keep them from living on the street until they could find some stability. The lost girl, along with her husband, accepted the offer. Not long into the arrangement, however, the man who'd offered his home described her as spiteful and maliciously bent. They eventually threw her back onto the streets. What the woman didn't know was that others who disliked her and viewed her with disgust were talking about her. Talking about her in a way that made other locals steer clear of her on the streets and stop giving her or her husband any type of charity such as food or lodging. While panhandling one day, she was approached on the street by officers who presented her with a warrant for her arrest. The claim against her came from two women who alleged she'd physically assaulted them. The warrant stated the woman needed to report the next day to a municipal building for interrogation concerning the issue. The very next day, officers found her on the street and escorted her to the municipal building, making sure she was present for the interrogation. As she entered the building, things took a very confusing and very dark turn. The room had an audience. An audience of many of the locals who lived in town. The two women who filed the accusations against the lost girl were also present, and as she walked past them, they seemed to become ill. As the interrogation commenced, one of the women accusers produced a broken knife that the lost girl allegedly had used to stab her. A man in the audience stood and announced the accuser was lying, as that was his own broken knife he'd thrown in the garbage days ago. Despite the false allegation being called out publicly, the interrogation continued. Adding to the chaos of the woman's sudden situation was that another ostracized local woman had implicated her in unsavory activities in town as well. This would begin a series of events where this lost girl, whose father took his own life, whose rightful inheritance was denied her, whose first husband threw her deeply into debt, whose second husband turned against her in an effort not to be implicated in her alleged activities, who had been broken and left on the street, who would be jailed for the allegations launched at her, and who, because of a lack of food while imprisoned for months after this event, would lose the child she carried, would come to a violent end based on what turned out to be a fraudulent, cruel allegation thrown at someone who was simply different and misunderstood. At present, there is a small rock ledge, or more appropriately, a step marking the final spot where the woman stood one last time, and finally, sadly, and horrifically, found peace and rest after so much rack and ruin had been piled upon her. A rock that seems out of place until you step back and notice several others on either side of it. A rock that's a memorial to a lost girl that whispers loudly a valuable lesson of the cruelty of judgment without empathy or understanding or compassion. A lesson that, as much as the locals of that town tried to marginalize the woman, only launched her name into history and infamy as a tragically cautionary tale. A cautionary tale that began in horrible earnest on March 1st, 1692, and took the lives in the course of 1 year of so many more innocent women, when that lost girl was interviewed in front of locals for false allegations brought against her simply because she was a misunderstood target that seemed easily expendable to a frightened, superstitious town. A town called Salem, where Sarah Good, the lost girl in our story, was hung in the spot that rock step now occupies, after being accused of being a witch. There's an interesting portion of this story that often gets forgotten. As Sarah Good stood on the platform next to several other women about to be hanged for allegedly being a witch, a Reverend Nicholas Noyes urged her to admit she was in fact a witch. Sarah Good's final words were directed at the Reverend. "You are a liar. I am no more a witch than you are a wizard, and if you take away my life, God will give you blood to drink." Years later, in 1717, Reverend Noyes would die violently due to an internal hemorrhage and choke to death on his own blood. You've been listening to Whispers, the short-form history podcast that tells stories that time is slowly forgetting. My name's Tony Lay. Thank you for listening. And until next time, good night. Music for this episode of Whispers provided and created by Mark Vandermeulen. You can hear more of Mark's work at ghoststoriesincorporated.bandcamp.com.